Good morning, Rise and Shine, 6 to 9. Today is time for your journey to better health. Dr. Brad Shapiro in with us from Ultimate Health Chiropractic. And Brad, if you would, our standard disclaimer and our sponsors.
Yes, sir. Standard disclaimer. Please understand that we're not trying to treat you over the airwaves. So if you do have a health care concern, or if we talk about anything that sparks your interest, please seek out the health care provider of your choice. Whether it's a chiropractor like myself, physical therapist, medical doctor, massage therapist, dentist, whatever the case may be, please seek out the health care provider of your choice. Then I want to mention our sponsors. First, we have Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. It's actually the church where myself, my wife Melissa, our son Jackson, we all attend. Great group of people, headed up by Pastor Josh Conrad and his wife Lindsay. You can reach the church at 931-967-1187. We do Sunday morning services at 10:30 a.m., all kinds of other stuff going on as well, but definitely recommend you check them out. Second sponsor is Unstoppable Church, headed up by Pastor Brad Brinkley and staff. Another great group of people. They do kind of a rock and roll worship service, and then they're associated with a large group called Life Church out of Oklahoma. You can reach them at 931-649-2909. Again, that's area code 931-649-2909. And they are doing Sunday morning services.
Absolutely.
Woohoo!
Got to tell you this. I'm sort of proud of this.
Yes.
Back in 1980, when you were but a wee little thing.
Yes.
But in 1980, I was halfway through college.
Okay.
And at MTSU in Murfreesboro. And they had a sort of a contest amongst all the honor society that I was in and also the fraternities, sororities, and all that stuff to see which one could get the most members to donate blood to the American Red Cross Blood Mobile.
Yeah.
So I donated on behalf of Gamma Beta Phi, the honor society.
Okay.
I don't remember who won. But anyway, been given ever since. And this past Friday, I gave my 102nd donation.
Oh, my gosh. That's pretty awesome.
Not all at one time.
Yeah.
All at one time.
No, that's cool.
Let's talk a bit about, I'm not exactly how to phrase this. Let's talk about how chiropractic is really being accepted in the day and age that we live in. And one thing that I think really spoke volumes, and you were talking to me about this a while back, take a look at all the sports teams on all the different levels that bring chiropractic into the mix to where when there's some sort of an injury going on, they bring a chiropractor on hand. That's just one thing that's showing how chiropractic is an important, worthwhile tool in the fight against bad things.
Yeah, I mean, chiropractic definitely has a very important role, a very important seat at the table of overall healthcare options.
Mm-hmm.
You know, chiropractic, there's just some things I'll mention about it. We have an 80%+ patient satisfaction rate as a whole, you know, as a profession, which is huge. I mean, that's 80%+ of patients that see a chiropractor are satisfied and they are pleased with the care they get. So that says a lot. Of course, athletes, like you mentioned, when we talk about athletes, I always like to mention that the clinical director, so the director for the Olympic team, which the Olympic teams, you know, every time they have the Olympics, they've got a clinic set aside that all the athletes can use and share.
Mm-hmm.
They've got everything accessible to these athletes, everything from medical to trainers, to physical therapists, to chiropractors, to acupuncturists, to people doing cupping. I mean, everything you can imagine. The clinical director, the person that everybody reports to, all the other medical doctors, chiropractors, nurse practitioners, trainers, physical therapists, whoever, the person that everybody reports to is actually a chiropractor.
Isn't that amazing?
He's the clinical director for the whole shebang.
Well, and to be honest, Brad, that was, if I remember correctly, that was the first time I ever remembered hearing of the relationship between chiropractic and sports was some story about the Olympics a while back or something.
Yeah.
And they mentioned the importance of chiropractic to all of the athletes with all the twists and turns and stretched muscles and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know,
I don't mean to get technical.
No,
stretched muscles. Wow.
Well, I mean, by far, chiropractic's the most utilized service that the athletes use by far more than everything else. So that was always kind of interesting to me because you would watch the Olympics and they would highlight things like cupping and some of these other things, which I think are interesting and they have their place.
What is cupping?
Cupping, where they use the cups and it basically creates a vacuum and it kind of ties into Chinese medicine.
Yeah.
And But they would highlight those types of things, just, you know, as interesting stories and, you know, look at what this athlete's doing to stay healthy and this kind of interesting cupping or, you know, some of the other things they would highlight. But I always thought it was interesting because they would talk little to nothing about chiropractic. And again, that's the service that the athletes are using by and large. Athletes as a whole love chiropractic. A lot of my clinical heroes, you know, the guys that I go see at conferences and stuff, in some ways they're a little bit shunned here in the U.S., but over in Europe they're considered like rock stars. I mean, these are just the best of the best clinicians, the way they're framed and perceived in other parts of the world. But, you know, here in the U.S., I mean, the American Medical Association was tried and convicted for a conspiracy to contain, eliminate, and destroy the profession of chiropractic. Of course, Dr. Jerry Anderson does a great job of talking about that with something called the Wilkes suit. So chiropractic's just had this uphill battle where it's been a real struggle to get the recognition and to get the overall, you know, education of what chiropractic really can and cannot do, that it's just way more than just headaches and low back pain. But it's taken time for chiropractic to reach a point where it does have more credibility, and a lot of that's been because chiropractors as a profession, we've had an uphill battle. There's been you know, attempts to again contain, eliminate, and destroy the profession of chiropractic, but chiropractic is just so stinking effective that it's your classic, you just can't keep a good man down or a good profession down, because chiropractic works so well.
Well, and I've got to come back in here, and I know I've mentioned this a thousand times, and my wife always tells me I repeat myself, so I repeat myself again.
There you go.
But anyway, it goes back to a fellow that was way ahead of his time. My late uncle, Dr. J.E. Phillips, passed away a few years back. He practiced in the professional building in McMinnville, Tennessee for 30-something years, I think it was. I can remember going to see Uncle Gene at his office, and he would check our blood pressure and this, that, and the other, and double check my mom and everything, make sure that everything's going okay with her, with her diabetes and all that. But then what he would do, and I mean, you're talking about going back into the 60s here.
Yeah.
And back then you didn't hear about the good relationship that chiropractic has now.
Yeah.
It was a whole different world back then. But back then in the 60s, we would go by to see my uncle. And at different points, he would say, okay, he talked to my mother, his kid's sister. He'd say, now, Joyce, I've done this and this and this. I want you to go down the hall to Dr. Cope, the chiropractor, and let him do this and this and this.
Yeah.
Even back then, my uncle knew the value of chiropractic. I think he's way ahead of his time.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of medical doctors were, you know, in their defense, they really felt a lot of pressure to be anti-chiropractic because their peers were going to give them a hard time if it ever got out that they endorsed chiropractic. I know some, you know, people like Dr. Jerry Anderson, and I know other chiropractors, they'll talk about instances in their lives and in their careers where medical doctors would say, you know, hey, I think what you're doing is great, but please don't tell anybody because I don't want anybody to give me a hard time. So there was just, you know, there was a lot of peer pressure. You know, you have to understand too that, you know, less than 1% of chiropractors practice the way that I do or the way like a Dr. Jerry Anderson does with all the different chiropractic techniques and the nutrition and lasers and the mental emotional techniques and, you know, all the different therapies. You know, we do a lot of different things, and so we really do operate as general practitioners, and that's how chiropractors we're actually defined by definition. We're considered general practitioners. So just like you consider your medical doctor or a nurse practitioner or whoever as your general practitioner, that's the category that chiropractors are in. So because of that, and because we operate in that capacity, we're not just another option. We're the competition. You know, every time somebody goes to see a chiropractor for pain, and instead of taking an opioid or something like that, we help them with something like chiropractic, we're serving as the competition. We're going against those sales and some of those things that the higher-ups would like to see. And so you have to just understand some of those things. But there is unfortunately, a lot of built-in pressure to kind of suppress chiropractic because, again, we're not just another option. We're the competition. Mm-hmm. I think statistically, something like 98% of people see a medical doctor, but only, I think, 12 to 18% of people see a chiropractor. Mm-hmm. So if we got to a point where 98%+ of the population saw these general practitioners called chiropractors, you know, that could really shift the pendulum of the amount of drugs and surgeries that that happen.
Yeah.
So, and when you talk to, I just talked to somebody not too long ago that had a low back surgery, and he said the total cost with insurance and out of pocket was $250,000, where I charge $65 for an adjustment. It takes a whole lot of adjustments to get up to that $250,000. So that's part of this stuff too, is, and that's part of what makes what Viome's done so interesting and so amazing, is Viome, where we see patients in the middle of the week, they've created a scenario where there's a real financial incentive for people to get healthier because it lowers their insurance costs. You know, Viome's large enough that they can be self-insured, and as they lower, you know, the number of soft tissue injuries, and they lower the amount of workers' comp and time off work, as they lower all these things by getting people healthier, mm-hmm. it translates into huge savings in terms of their insurance costs and other things, mm-hmm. where there's no financial incentive for cancer to go away. And, you know, the industry of cancer, I hate to call it that, but that's really what it is in many ways.
I've heard that many times.
You know, the industry of cancer employs a lot of people and produces a whole lot of money. Just on a real basic level, there's no real incentive to truly find a cure for cancer. I mean, I know everybody's going to have, you know, there's going to be some challenges and there's going to be some things that are unavoidable. But a lot of the things that we experience in this country, you know, the pain and the cancers and all these things, there's no financial incentive for those things to go away. Where, again, if you compare that to like a Viome, what they've done is they've created a financial incentive for people to get healthier.
Mm-hmm.
As the old saying goes, you follow the money if you want to figure out what's really going on.
Well, and Viome knows that if you have a healthy employee, that healthy employee will be healthy in body, mind, and spirit and be a better producer.
Yes. Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah. It's a beautiful scenario because there is a financial incentive. It's, in my opinion, just the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want people to be healthier. You want them to, you know, it does help the company if they're healthier and they're more productive. But, you know, there's a big difference between sick care and health care.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of how our health care models work is it's really more about sick care than it really is health care.
Mm-hmm.
But just, you know, if you're listening or if you're pondering, just think about the idea that there's got to be a financial incentive. A few people got incredibly rich or incredibly richer during COVID, for instance. I mean, the amount of misinformation during all that, at least in my opinion, was outrageous. But on the same token, us chiropractors have seen that kind of misinformation for decades.
Mm-hmm.
COVID was just a whole different scale. I'm not saying COVID's not real. I'm not saying it didn't affect a lot of people, a lot of families. It affected our family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Melissa, my wife, lost her stepdad because of COVID. So I'm not.
Sorry about that. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I'm not knocking that or saying it's not real or anything like that. But there was a tremendous amount of misinformation. You know, while I'm thinking about it, we did do two-hour shows here in this studio about COVID. So if you want to,
a ton of information.
It's a ton of information. So if you get a wild hair, just go on our website, go to www.ultimatehealthtn.com, and you can click on the UH podcast tab,
mm-hmm.
and just look for the COVID shows, number one and number two. Or you can jump on like Spotify, iTunes, something like that, and look up Ultimate Health Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's Ultimate Health Radio. And you can find all of our podcasts that way as well, and then look for the COVID show or other shows.
Mm-hmm.
But we did two-hour shows, so a total of about 4 hours worth of information about COVID. And again, not saying it wasn't real, not saying it didn't affect a lot of people, but a lot of how these systems have operated, and they've maintained financial incentives to move in what I would consider a sick direction,
mm-hmm.
is because of misinformation.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of misinformation out there.
Let me ask you, you're familiar with the Hippocratic Oath, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Basically, what does the Hippocratic Oath say?
You know, you have an obligation.
Basically, do no harm.
Yeah, you have an obligation to do the right thing and to help people.
Okay, so that brings me back to what you were saying earlier about physicians telling you, okay, I know you're doing some good things here, but please don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
How do I phrase this? How do you balance that with the Hippocratic Oath? And if a doctor knows that chiropractic can help a person,
yeah,
and he or she knows that chiropractor will be able to help that person, but does not bring that information up to the patient, you know, a chiropractor can help you.
Yeah.
You know, how do you balance that with the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm?
Yeah, I think that stuff's tricky.
Does that make any sense?
It does, yeah. I think every individual is going to have to wrestle with that. I think there
matter
are
of conscience in a way to me. Maybe.
Yeah, I think that I think there's politics involved. Mm-hmm. I think for some of these people, they're scared. I think they're graduating with a tremendous amount of debt, and they're thinking I've got to support my family, mm-hmm. and if that means I've got to go along with the system, then I guess I've got to go along with the system. That's one of the things I'm so thankful for. With something like chiropractic is, the way we're structured, I can truly feel good about what I see in the mirror. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people want to do the right thing. They're just not sure how to do the right thing. You know, I know tons of great medical doctors and tons of people that are supportive, and they can be more open about it now than they could, mm-hmm. 50 years ago.
Yeah.
But I think it's tricky. I think it's tricky. And a lot of this, I guess let's just call it corruption, is only at the highest level. So a lot of, the people that we know personally as medical doctors, nurse practitioners, other types of physicians, these are good people that are supportive. A lot of the corruption, a lot of the pressure is coming from the very, very, very top. And so you've got components like that, but it's a bad, bad deal. We're the sickest developed country in the world. I reference that all the time.
Yeah.
In terms of obesity, cancer, heart disease, diabetes.
Sedentary lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. But you have to understand there's really no, for certain individuals, the people are just getting extremely wealthy from vaccines and pharmaceutical drugs, mm-hmm. and surgeries and some of these things. There's no financial incentive for people to get better. There's way more money in sick care.
Well, let me ask you this. When you talk about incentives and so forth, our baby boomer generation, myself included, we're getting older.
Yeah.
The needs from the medical establishment will be greater and greater and greater. There's only so many physicians to go around, whether it's traditional medicine or chiropractic or whatever. But with the needs each year increasing at a high level, isn't everybody going to have to be willing to put everything on the table, including chiropractic, and say, okay, they can take care of this and this and this. Chiropractic can take care of that, to where they can make the medical system be able to treat everybody that needs medical care?
Yeah, and I think some of the things that are happening, too, is just kind of forcing the pace. A lot of what I'm describing in terms of sick care and stuff like that, it's not sustainable forever.
Mm-hmm.
As debt goes up and as people get sicker and sicker, I really think that it's going to kind of force the hand of some things, and I think people are going to be forced to look for, and I'm totally taking Dr. Jerry Anderson's line on this.
Yeah.
One, but he likes to say that healthcare options of the future are going to have to meet two criteria. They're going to have to be clinically effective. They got to actually work, and they're going to have to be cost effective. They got to be affordable.
I have heard him say that many occasions.
Yeah, so it's just, we're going to have to find those types of options, because so much of what we're doing, endless, $250,000 low back surgeries compared to a few $65 chiropractic adjustments. I mean, mm-hmm. the difference is so tremendous that a lot of these things that are so expensive that aren't really working that great. I mean, it's been a while since I've looked at the numbers, but I think with low back surgeries, basically a third of the time you're better, a third of the time you're worse, mm-hmm. and a third of the time there's no change. Mm-hmm. So that's just not; those aren't the greatest odds in the world for $250,000. And it gets even worse if you fast forward, you know, 5 years after the surgery. Mm-hmm.
With the number of dollars available out there for medical care, the dollars are limited.
Yes.
And so aren't they going to have to put everything on the table and get serious about preventative health care? And preventative health care in regards to chiropractic coming in, but don't wait until you get sick or in terrible, terrible pain. Go in proactively and get yourself checked out, find out what might be going on, nip it in the bud before it gets worse. And with preventative health care, you can get ahead of the situation, and it costs less instead of waiting till the car falls apart.
Yeah.
The preventative maintenance to make sure you're on the even keel.
I mean, you would think so.
It's common sense, isn't it?
It is, but part of the challenge is, you know, in business, you have to know what's inside the numbers. So you have to – I've seen clinics, for instance, that collected millions, but yet their overhead and their expenses were so high that they really were struggling financially.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've seen other clinics that, you know, made, you know, very little, but they were so financially responsible and their overhead and everything was so well managed that they actually did much better financially.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying all that to say, you know, part of what makes this challenging is at the end of the day, you and I are going to be forced to speculate because we don't know what's inside all these numbers. You know, I would love to sit down with like a Dr. Fauci or whoever, you know, somebody that really knows all the numbers mm-hmm. and get a breakdown of really what's going on with the costs, expenses. I would love to see an honest, you know, P&L sheet of,
good luck with
you know, the, all the healthcare costs. And, you know, if we look at the U.S. like a business, you know, I would love to see just a P&L for what happens within healthcare, you know, profits and losses and just all those things. But, you know, so we're forced to just latch on to things that we do know. And so that's part of what we did with the COVID shows is, you know, we did know that the total number of deaths before COVID in 2019 versus 2020, the total number of deaths was actually less in 2019 than it was 2020. It was more. 2019 had a total number of deaths. So not just COVID, not just heart disease, not just car accidents, but the total number of deaths in 2019 was actually higher than it was during COVID in 2020.
Well, but I saw a story a while back which made me sort of shrug my shoulder and say, what? But I read a story that we had during that period of time, we had very few flu cases.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. Were we calling
the flu just disappear?
Yeah.
So you start looking at numbers like that. And
Do you think 20 – I don't even know if I should ask this, but I'm going to.
Yeah.
Do you think that 20 years down the road, we're going to look back and when they investigate everything, find out that there were some things that they really should have handled differently?
I do. I mean, I really, really do. I think it's just –
hindsight's 20/20, that's to the extreme, but I'm telling you.
Yeah, I mean, we were dealing with something new with COVID, mm-hmm. but we threw out all the basics. You know, I don't remember Dr. Fauci ever mentioning, you know, taking vitamin D, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it was a medical doctor or a chiropractor or a naturopath or whoever, you know, they might disagree about masks. They might disagree about vaccines. But everybody that I talked to and pretty much everybody was on board that vitamin D was definitely something you needed to be taking to support your immune system. And vitamin D deficiencies were a big part of the COVID deaths. And mm-hmm. you know, so why Dr. Fauci wouldn't just hammer that and talk about that every time he's on the air is just doesn't make sense to me.
It has been a fast half hour.
Yes.
Well, closing comments.
All right. Once again, my name is Dr. Brad Shapiro with Ultimate Health, available 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. You can reach us at 931-967-6308. I want to encourage you to like us on Facebook. You can go to facebook.com/ultimatechiropractic. Check out our website and go to www.ultimatehealthtn.com. Also, check out our online store. You can go to shop.ultimatehealthtn.com. That's where you can find all of our supplements. Shipping is absolutely free. So take advantage of that. And hope you guys have a great rest of your day. We will talk to you Monday of next week at 7:05.